sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Black Friday.
Don't forget tomorrow, Small Business Saturday, but as far as I'm concerned, it's Small Business Day every day, as we pointed out in the previous half hour. And we'd like you to stock up for the weekend at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. You need to stock up. The weekend is far from over. We're only a day and a half into it. The great weekends of the year. And you want soda, water, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Bags right there at the register. Very easy. The store's really well laid out. Lot of help. They'll get the cases out to the car for you. Plenty of free parking. Pickle bar is second to none. I recommend the barrel pickles, the dill pickles, my two favorites, without question. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know what makes a great holiday gift? A car. Now that's a great gift. Let's get to our play-by-play call of the day. We had the three NFL games yesterday. Carolina went big, had the two interception returns for touchdowns. Luke Kuechly had a huge day yesterday. You had the rout by the Lions over the Eagles. You also had the Packers last night losing to the Bears 17-13. But our play-by-play call of the day is from college football. Texas Tech last night and Texas. And Tim Brando picks up the call with Texas Tech.
No Tom Rathman or any of those guys out there, but again, it's the same concept, just a smaller body picking it up and running the opposite direction.
And really the right time to run it, too. I mean, you're on the opposition's 40, and he is just, you talk about a play caller's delight.
Cliff Kingsbury, absolutely that. And again, our thanks to our good friends at Fox Sports for that play-by-play call of the day. Play-by-play call of the day. Texas Tech with a little, as they would say, trickeration on the fake punt against Texas last night. All right, Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, now joins us. Rich, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
Same to you, Steve. My pleasure.
All right. Rich, it seemed like it was a lot of big-picture conversation today. Is that the impression you got in listening to the questions and also James Franklin's answers?
Yeah. I think there are a lot of big-picture questions today, especially coming off a loss Saturday that left a lot of people unhappy. I thought James did a good job addressing them as well as he could. The one takeaway I have, he said that, or a couple takeaways, but the main one is that he said that he understands the problems and issues of this team better than anybody, that he will address them. He also said that, continue to say, as he has for most of the last two seasons, that big problem for the offense was the offensive linemen and tight ends not being physical enough, and I certainly would agree with that. So they're the two biggest takeaways from today's press conference.
To you, Rich, what's on track, and then what has to be cleaned up to make things better?
Oh boy. Well, boy, that's a good question, Steve. I think generally speaking, the defense is on track. I think probably because of the play and the experience of the defensive line. Offensively, you know, you have a talented quarterback, a talented running back, you know, one or two talented receivers, but that's about it. And I just don't know. James claims that the offensive line has made progress since the beginning of the year. After watching the game Saturday against Michigan, and I know Michigan's a really good defensive team, but I would have trouble. I have trouble believing that.
Which then brings in Michigan State. How much did you get a chance to see Michigan State, Ohio State?
I did not. No, I was writing, and I only caught the very, very end of the game. You know, I was finishing up my stories for Sunday's Reading Eagles, so I can't say that I saw a lot of that. I just know the numbers, and to me, the thing that sticks out is how well Michigan State's defense played against the very, very talented Ohio State offense and limiting them to, what was it, 130 yards. That to me is incredible.
The two Ohio State touchdowns were both off of were set up by takeaways, including a 9-yard drive.
Yeah. That one surprised me because Michigan State has had problems defensively for most of the season, as you know, and you know, for them to do what they did to go into Columbus and, you know, shut down Ohio State's offense, which I honestly didn't think was possible with that much talent, and B, win with backup quarterbacks. You know, that was very impressive.
Yeah, here is the formula: backup quarterback playing on the road against defending national champion, where every number offensively and defensively for you is not just a little bit worse, but really is worse than last year on both sides, except for one area: your giveaway takeaway, and you had 72 points to 3 in points off of turnovers. And then in this game, you go -2, get no takeaways. They score 14. Everything that should go wrong went wrong, and they won.
Well, I will say this. I think Mark D'Antonio, I think the people in the Big Ten know how good a coach he is and how good that program is.
Yes.
I'm not so sure the rest of the country understands it. And I think he's as good as there is in the country.
Yeah, and everything I just went through is that all that stuff in margin of error they were able to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
How slim is Penn State's margin of error at this moment? You know, it's got to change down the road, obviously, but how slim is actually the margin of error for this football team right now?
Like microscopic. I mean, it's small. You know, they can't afford to fumble a punt at the 9-yard line, to give up a 55-yard kickoff return after, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter, down by 5. They can't afford to go into the red zone to go inside Michigan's 10-yard line 3 times and come away with 3 field goals. That they just can't do it. They need to maximize every opportunity they can. And, boy, that puts you in a real tough spot. And I just don't know with what is there. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah. How much do you think that then in turn affects decision-making as to how you handle certain situations because of your margin of error?
Yeah, I understand that. It you know, you've got to really – sometimes I think you have to go think out of the box and be aggressive sometimes because I think the situation – you know, I'm talking specifically. I should get to my point. Going for the field goal on 4th and 1,
right, yeah,
with a score 21-13 and 8 minutes left. Initially, I thought, you know, okay, I can see that, I guess. But before the game ended, I started thinking, now wait a minute, you're 4th and goal from the 1. You know, how many more chances are you going to get? You're going to have to score a touchdown. This is it. You need a touchdown. And you're at the 1-yard line, you got to go for it there. Now, you know, I'm not going to crucify James Franklin for doing that, but the fact is that when I sat and thought about it in a few minutes after, not because they didn't get it, you got to go for it. You got to take that chance there, especially against a really good defense. You know, all these things. You know, you're right. Every decision that coaching staff makes is scrutinized because the margin for error is so small.
Something interesting has cropped up now outside of Penn State, and that is there are 80 bowl spots, and right now 71 eligible teams. There are 17 that can get to the promised land, but they're not there yet. How much have they – I don't mind bowl games. I don't care. The criticism of too many, well, the TV ratings are really good. But how thin have they stretched this thing because of how it's playing out?
I will disagree with that. I think there are too many bowl games. I just do. I don't mean like a team that's 7-5, but look at how many 6-6 teams will be playing this year. I mean, I know Penn State was 6-6 last year, and you know, obviously the bowl game last year meant everything to Penn State's program. But I mean, 40 bowl games?
That's a big number.
I mean, oh my goodness! Like the ones, I really don't pay attention to them before until after Christmas.
Right.
Maybe some people do. Maybe the bettors do, but I don't.
Yeah.
And
you mean you did not watch the Bahamas Bowl on Christmas Eve?
No, although I wouldn't mind going there. But no, I mean I and this is going to be really interesting to see what happens. I mean, you can have 5-7 teams going to bowl games. I just don't think that's what the forefathers of college football thought when they came up with the idea of having postseason games.
I thought when they had 38. They were right about at that magical limit where, okay, I think you can get away with this because now you need 76 teams. Now, if you have 71 that are eligible and you need only five more to get to the promised land, okay, you can fill the spots.
Yeah.
But 80 because you have 40 of them now?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't like it. I don't like it at all.
No.
I just don't think I mean, again, it's all about TV ratings, I guess, but I'm not interested. I'm not interested in seeing a 5-7 team from a power conference play a 7-5 team from just throw out a conference, Conference USA.
Right, exactly. So, in other words, you're not going to campaign for the Reading Bowl.
No.
Even though it could mean a lot for the Chamber of Commerce.
No, that's okay. That's all right. But, I could do without.
Yeah.
I could do without.
College football playoff rankings. Every week they come out with a Final Four. And last year, the only time Ohio State was in the Final Four was the only one that mattered. What does it do every week to have these Final Four rankings that start the first week of November? Is it good for the game? Is there too much irrelevant conversation about it because it doesn't really matter until the end?
Well, I like the fact that it doesn't come out until the first week of November. I like that a lot, that they're not doing this from September. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I don't know if it does any good by having weekly updates because things change week to week and should change week to week. I mean, I still think whatever the four teams are tonight, I think more than likely it's going to change before the final four are determined.
Right.
So what it does, I guess, I don't get caught up in it, what ifs and everything like that until it's done. And I think they did a good job last year picking the four that they did.
Yes.
Now, even if Ohio State didn't win the national championship, I still think they did a good job.
Agreed.
Who they come up with this year, I don't know. But I like the fact that the people are talking about it. I just don't like the fact that, you have fans and media from all the covering these schools saying this team didn't play anybody, didn't beat anybody, and then, well, you didn't play anybody and you didn't beat anybody. I mean, just wait and see how it all plays out. Let's wait to see until December 6th, and, then we could criticize or, come up with something. But I know some people think they shouldn't have it. They should just announce it December 6th. And just have surprise everybody, which would not be a bad idea. It would be kind of like Selection Sunday.
I agree. And what gets me is that they bring you into the room and all 12 people are there. What a waste of money flying them in every single week to do something like that.
Yeah,
the NCAA, I think they meet one time during the course of the year and then, just to go over procedure.
Yeah.
And then they do it. Then they sit down in Indianapolis and they have a much bigger job. They have to pick them. They have to seed them. They have to put them in pods. They have to do all these things. These dudes have to pick four teams.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's with the intention of being transparent. And if it is, I understand that. But to me, just come out December 6th. Meet the last week like the NCAA basketball committee does, and here's our four teams, and one day it'll be eight probably, but here's our four teams, and here's how they're lining up. Well, here's how they're seated: 1, 2, 3, and 4, and let's go. I don't get caught up in you know, and the what ifs and everything. And right. maybe it's because Penn State isn't involved in it, hasn't been involved in it last year, this year. But I don't really pay much attention to it until the very end.
You were talking about you don't pay attention to bowl games until after Christmas.
I don't.
I think a lot of people feel the same way as you do.
Yeah.
What about having the semifinals on New Year's Eve? They are determined to do that 4 out of 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea.
No.
This is from somebody who has spent a lot of New Year's Eves, happens to be my wife's birthday, away from home. And I think it's going to hurt their ratings. I don't see people changing their plans on New Year's Eve in order to watch two football games. I just don't. I'm sorry.
No, especially in this particular year where January 2nd was handed to you in the silver platter as a Saturday.
Yeah. I don't understand. I'm just, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy here, and I love football as much as anybody, but I know if I'm home on the 31st, I'm not staying home to watch that second game or even, you know, that's just not going to happen.
One final question. Let's get down to brass tacks here. All right. I want a good, solid answer from you. Do you feel better after the Packers' performance the other day?
Yeah, I do. I felt pretty good going into it. I thought, but I feel better. Yeah, I feel much better about the way they played defensively, especially. I'll be happier if they win Thursday night against the Bears.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way. For anybody who's never been to Lambeau, and I've been once, and you've been, how many of you been?
You've been twice? There, I mean, for games, twice, yeah.
I've been there once, he's been there twice. It is a must-see, and I mean the whole thing, from the Hall of Fame to the atrium to the game to the whole deal. It's a bucket list thing to do.
Yeah, even if you're not a Packers fan, and the first time I went to a game there, I went with a friend who was not a Packers fan, and he loved it. It's a great place to be.
Hey, thanks so much, Rich. Enjoy it. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you out in East Lansing.
Same to you, Steve. See you on the weekend. Thanks.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, and in the final half hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, will be joining us. We'll talk about the big Steeler weekend. They've got Seattle coming up. We talk about the Eagles, but we don't want to depress the passengers. Philadelphia talk radio must be one wild ride right now after what's happened the last 3 weeks in Philadelphia. We're also going to have our Bozo of the Day, but it deals with Philadelphia, but not with the Eagles. And believe it or not, Johnny Manziel was a finalist and didn't win and very well could have won. That tells you how bizarre this Bozo of the Day deal happens to be. I remember when we came up with the idea and talked about, you know, we're going to do this day in sports history, play-by-play call of the day, which you heard when we began the segment today, the Texas Tech fumble Ruski last night, and that, you know, it was brought up like the sports Bozo of the Day. I mean, can we do this every day? Oh, I said, believe me, we'll have multiple choice. We had three finalists today. We had three finalists for today's show. But this one emerged as the winner. We'll have that in the next half hour. All right, big weekend coming up across the board. You need to stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket is the place to do it. Best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Store's really well laid out. Every time I'm in there, I'm just impressed by how it's laid out. All the help that's there. There's plenty of help to get the cases to the car for you. Soda and water. Snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. Any fresh, hot roasted peanuts. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles, love the dill pickles. So stock up for the weekend, stock up for the holidays now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Doug Birdsong, who joined us in the opening half hour, Greg Pickle in the second half hour, and Rich Scarcella in this half hour. Still to come, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Reporter, will join us in the final half hour of the show. Thanks for allowing us to be a part of your Black Friday as you travel around the area or even just hang out at home, wrapping some of the gifts you bought earlier today or you're making dinner, whatever. Just thanks for having us along with you. Don't forget Penn State football tomorrow, Michigan State, 2 o'clock the airtime, kickoff set for 3:30. Bottom of the hour, news coming up next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line a few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at SunburyMotors.com, proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour for the week. Thanks for joining us on this Black Friday. Don't forget Small Business Saturday coming up as well across the country and especially up and down the valley. Please, whatever you can do to support the great businesses in our area, please do so. I know it's so easy to shop online sometimes, but if you could go in and support a business in our area, it makes a big difference in our area. A big difference. I cannot emphasize that enough to all of you. Businesses in our area are the heartbeat of the area. You know, that's how you end up with you know, employment. That's how you end up with charity work. I mean, across the board, it's part of the heartbeat of the area. Businesses up and down the valley. So whatever you can do to support them, that'd be great. Now, I want to tell you to go support Brewers Outlet. It's pretty easy to do, though. They have beer. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drink, soda, water. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. Plenty of parking, plenty of help to get the cases to the car. Pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles, love the dill pickles. A stock up for the weekend. This weekend's far from over. A lot of you have Monday off on top of everything. You had yesterday off, today off, tomorrow, Sunday, and a lot of you have Monday off. Well, so this weekend's far from over. Go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and stock up and start stocking up for the holidays. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You know what makes a great holiday gift? A car. Now, that's a holiday gift. All right, now let's get to our sports bozo of the day. When we conceived this idea, the question was brought up, and legitimately in the meeting, can we find one every day? I said, don't worry, we'll have no problem. Today we had three finalists, and Johnny Manziel was the runner-up. Philadelphia has been a mess sports-wise for a while. The Phillies aren't playing great. Off the field, they're doing great. On the field, no. Flyers on the ice, eh. Off the ice, they've been great. Eagles, no issues off the field. On the field, eh. The Sixers are bad on the court, and now this. Rookie Jahlil Okafor was involved in a street fight in Boston Wednesday night. TMZ, Kevin's favorite news outlet, does have video, which they released early yesterday, that showed a man identified as Okafor verbally sparring with several individuals. Then a scuffle broke out, and the man identified as Okafor was seen punching a man. Apparently, they said to him that the Sixers stink, and you guys are all losers, and you'll never win a game. This guy says, I was around the corner when it happened. I saw him a minute after he knocked the dude out. I think the guy was just saying something like, the Sixers stink. The Sixers have released a statement. We are aware of the report, and we are currently working to gather additional information. Until that time, we have no further comment. The Sixers were beating the Celtics by 11 in the fourth quarter, lost at TD Garden 84-80. Okafor had a good game. He had another good game, 19 points, 9 rebounds. The third overall pick in the NBA draft has been averaging 18.4 points and 8 rebounds a game. So he's been doing his part. But the Sixers are off to an 0-16 start. They are the first team in NBA history to start 0-16 in consecutive seasons. And going back to last year, they have lost 26 consecutive games. Wow. Jahlil Okafor, our bozo of the day. All right. As I said, we have multiple choice every day on this. Every day. We have to make decisions. We don't have to scramble to find one. Well, we don't have to scramble to find someone to talk about Pittsburgh sports every week. That happens to be Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Tony, welcome back. It is great to have you with us.
And happy Thanksgiving to you, Steve.
Well, Tony, let's get into it here. The Steelers had the bye week. What good did it do them injury-wise by getting the extra week?
Well, you know, certainly Ben Roethlisberger finally got some rest. He was supposed to get about 3 full weeks of rest, and he had to go out and play on one foot against the Browns, and the Browns cooperated, so the Steelers were able to get through that game no worse for the wear. But yeah, I think that Ben Roethlisberger was able. You know, that probably was the biggest injury that they were able to rest up a little bit. There's some other guys that are nicked up. James Harrison, Jarvis Jones are guys dealing with some of the typical injuries that you deal with in November in the NFL, or frankly at any level of football, to be honest with you. But I think Roethlisberger probably got the most good out of the bye week. Although Mike Tomlin, when asked if Ben was completely over his injuries, laughed and said the only time you use the word completely regarding injuries in the NFL is in March. So we'll just say he's going to play. But and quite frankly, his backup, Landry Jones, should be healthy and ready to go as well.
That's big as well because of the attrition rate. There are no more byes for anybody in the NFL.
Right.
It's exciting for the fan knowing that there's 16 games a week and there's no guessing as to who's on and who's off. Tony, what does it mean, though, for the football teams?
Well, it's going to be an exciting race to the finish here, you know, for the Steelers. Quite frankly, after 10 games, 11 weeks, the injuries they've dealt with, the suspensions that they, did to themselves that they had to deal with at the beginning of the season, they're sitting at 6-4 and in complete control of their wild card destiny. They probably don't need to win the rest of the games to be to be in good shape for the wild card. Quite frankly, because the Bengals lost last week, they may be able to go 5-1 down the stretch as long as that one loss is not to Cincinnati and have a chance to compete for the division. So they are in as good a shape as they could have possibly been in at this point, and a schedule that maybe 3 weeks ago looked a lot more daunting. You know, with a Seattle team that now is going to be without Marshawn Lynch, a Seattle team that has struggled with Marshawn Lynch, a Denver team that has a quarterback, a major question mark at quarterback, looks a little bit less daunting. Not that those games, won't be difficult, but again, Peyton Manning not at his best, Marshawn Lynch not playing, I think anybody would sign up for those teams with that being the issue. So, this team is going to have a chance if the defense continues to play well. They're going to have a chance to make some noise. It's all about whether they can get it done on Sundays, I guess. But that part of my answer certainly isn't news.
Why has the defense played better?
You know, the front seven has been a lot better. I really think it goes down to two guys. Stephon Tuitt and Cameron Hayward have been really, really good. And, you know, as you go back in the defense, they've allowed the rest of the defense to, you know, to make plays behind them. The young linebackers have been good. You know, Bud Dupree has been very good. Joey Porter, the linebackers coach, really says that a lot of the reason Dupree has been so good is because the veterans in front of him, James Harrison and Arthur Motes, have been able to make enough plays and stay on the field for enough time that they don't have to throw Dupree into the deep end like they did with Jarvis Jones and Ryan Shazier. And Jones and Shazier have played better as well. For Shazier, I think it's about being healthy. For Jones, I think it's about understanding what's going on around him. The secondary, Steve, is still a problem. They've played better because they have forced turnovers. Mike Mitchell's been healthy. That's certainly been a plus. But the secondary certainly, at least in my opinion, is their weakest spot on the defense. But, again, they've done a good job of kind of masking that by making a big play. No matter where it is on the field, you know, when you get the ball back and you turn the ball over, that's been a successful defensive trip. So they have at least been doing that, and that's something that they did not do last season.
How much is solving the place-kicking problem actually boosted the confidence in the entire football team?
I think that it's, you know, I think that's been huge. You know, heck, when you go back to that loss that they had against Baltimore on Sunday night, you know, at some point during that game, the coaching staff made the decision to operate as if they did not have a place kicker. You know, they were either punting or they were going for it on fourth down, and they were going for two every time, and that certainly handcuffs and I think makes it difficult to call plays for an offense. But you're right. I think the idea that we can at least get points out of this. And if we can, you know, if we can stop them and give the ball back to our offense in decent field position, we're a couple of first downs away from some points. Yeah, I think that boosts the entire confidence of, you know, just like you said, of you know, on both sides of the ball. And again, Mike Tomlin, you know, when talking about the kicker this week, you know, was asked why he's been so successful, and Tomlin had a very short answer, which was, "I don't know, but I sure do appreciate it." So, you know, I think it makes life a lot easier for the coaching staff as well. And you know, they went through four kickers. It's really hard to believe, but they did find one. And now, if Chris Boswell continues to do this, they're going to have a decision to make next year when Sean Sweesum, who had been so good, you know, is healthy again.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. When you look at, you know, we've talked, you know, obviously about so many Steelers, but we got to get to Antonio Brown. This has been a franchise that has been incredibly blessed with great wideouts. Lynn Swann, John Stallworth. I mean, Jimmy Smith.
Yep.
He would have been a great player. Reference. Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't for the other two guys, Lewis Lips, I mean, you can go on and on and on with the great guys they've had. Where, you know, what level is this guy playing at?
Gosh, you know, as good as Hines Ward was, Antonio Brown does things that Hines Ward was unable to do. You know, he makes, you know, he gets deep and stretches the field the way John Stallworth did. He makes the circus catches that Lynn Swann did. You know, he is this, and he does it inside of a, you know, in a body that doesn't look like he should be one of the best receivers in the game. But boy, the results prove otherwise. He can do so much. You know, with the addition of Martavis Bryant, who can get deep and stretch the field, Brown can do so much underneath. You know, he's maybe one of the best guys in the game at catching that slant pattern, you know, a 7-yard pattern and taking it 60 yards. He's just so athletic, so explosive, and he really is so confident. And he's on there. You know, there's no question that he has a great connection right now with Ben Roethlisberger. There was nobody happier when Roethlisberger got back into the lineup than Antonio Brown. But, you know, he is doing things in the course of games that really I didn't think were possible. And, you know, again, going back to that Browns game, everybody knew who was getting the football, and Brown still, you know, put up ridiculous numbers in that game. Again, the Browns cooperated there. That really shouldn't happen in an NFL game. But it did, and Brown was the one who did it. And, yeah, he adds a dimension to this offense that they just haven't had in, gosh, I don't know how long. And I hate to say he's better than Ward or he's better than Swann or Stallworth or better than Lips. But, geez, it's hard to say those guys are, you know, ever had a better season than we're seeing out of Antonio Brown, not just this year but last year as well.
What about his durability? This is not a physically built specimen of 6'4", right, 230 pounds. How's he been able to withstand punishment? Because he has no hesitation, Tony, at all of going over the middle.
You know, I don't know how long that'll last, but I will say this. Monty's hesitation, his ability to withstand that kind of punishment, I don't know how long that will last. But I will say this. There is no one in better shape on this football team and no one who works harder. Antonio Brown, like a lot of wide receivers, you know, tends to say some things sometimes that are outrageous. He's certainly a showman whenever he gets into the end zone. But he puts in the work. There's nobody that comes earlier, nobody that stays later. That's a cliche, but it's true when certain guys do it, and he is one of those guys. He's in fantastic shape. He always has been. And, you know, I think that is part of the reason that he is able to stay healthy, because he is in such good shape. And he's the guy that a lot of the younger receivers point to when they talk about, and you've heard that phrase, how they go about their business, how they are a professional football player. He eats right. He, you know, takes care of his body the right way. He does all those things that the younger guys sort of have to learn how to do. Brown's the one that does that stuff and kind of, you know, shows them how it's done as far as being a pro and doing the right things off the field.
Does D'Angelo Williams fall into that same category?
Yeah, that's a great example. I don't know if D'Angelo Williams did that for his entire career. I think D'Angelo, you know, Williams has learned how to become that guy. He probably wouldn't be in the league at this point. This is his 10th, 11th year if he wasn't, you know, doing those things now. And you're exactly right. Again, the phrase, you know, going about your business, yeah, he's a guy that you watch do that. And you know, I think you can learn a lot from him. The coaches talk about that when they talk about D'Angelo Williams, too. And certainly those veteran coaches appreciate having veteran guys who can take a little bit of the heat off of them and take a little bit of that job out of their hands. It's always better when the younger players get that from the veterans and don't have to hear it from the coaching staff.
How do you view the matchup with Seattle, Tony?
Well, certainly, one of the things I'm looking most forward to is watching Richard Sherman and Antonio Brown. I think if you're a football fan, that should be a pretty fun matchup to watch. And I'm excited to watch Cam Chancellor and see what he can do to try to limit that Steelers running attack that is limited now to just D'Angelo Williams. I like what Pittsburgh can do offensively, but again, I just love what Seattle brings to the defensive side of that matchup, and I think that's going to be an awfully exciting matchup. A lot of Steelers fans think this is a game Pittsburgh is going to roll in there and win. As much as I said the schedule now might favor the Steelers, this is still going to be a difficult game. This is still the defending champions. Maybe they're playing with a little bit of that Super Bowl hangover, but you know, any given Sunday, any given quarter, you know, this team can bring it. And I think the other exciting matchup to watch is going to be to see what Russell Williams can do against that Pittsburgh secondary, and quite frankly, those Pittsburgh linebackers as well.
Right, and that's big, because there's one thing about Wilson that he brings the legs to the table that put linebackers in no man's land, and I think that becomes a problem when you face Seattle.
And especially when you've got young linebackers, you know, Lawrence Timmons is going to be a guy who probably is going to be able to, you know, cerebrally know what to do and where he should be. But I think that you're right. Russell Wilson is going to be able to probably have a little bit of fun with guys like Jarvis Jones and Bud Dupree and even Ryan Shazier. Shazier is athletic enough, and that should be fun to watch as well. But yeah, I mean, Wilson is a guy, just like you said, who can really put those guys out on that island where they simply don't know what to do.
You are in no man's land. Okay, here he comes. All right. Well, great. He's going to throw it now. Terrific. All right. Yeah, I love it.
Right. And, you know, Pittsburgh's defensive backs are going to have a difficult time covering for that long as well when you have a guy who can get out and extend plays like that.
I don't like Seattle's receivers as a group. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously they're all good players, but I mean, there's no really great wide out in that group. That helps Pittsburgh to me a lot, and I think that's one of the areas where Seattle's been held back.
Yeah, and I, you know, I would agree with you there, and I think that for some reason Jimmy Graham hasn't given them what they had every right to expect he would give them.
Well, absolutely. Well put. Hey, to you and yours, have a great Thanksgiving weekend, Tony. Appreciate it so much.
Steve, you do the same. Thanks.
Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. All right. Well, our thanks to Rich Scarcella and Tony DeFazio. Rich Scarcella from the Writing Eagle. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Our thanks to Doug Birdsong. And also our thanks to Greg Pickle from PennLive.com and the Patriot News, all of them joining us on today's show. Bucknell will play Penn State tomorrow in basketball at the Jordan Center. Doug Birdsong with the call on Eagle 107 tomorrow with a 1 o'clock tip. And, of course, Penn State football tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Penn State will take on Michigan State. Either Michigan State, Michigan, or Ohio State will win the East. They'll take on Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Iowa's playing right now against Nebraska, trying to complete a perfect
regular season and keep themselves in the hunt for the college football playoff. And that will be a 3:30 kick tomorrow. We're on at 2 o'clock with the Eats and Watson tailgate show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our show being brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, imports, domestics, and microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Soft drink, soda. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Now, this, of course, is Black Friday. And, you know, Black Friday is something everyone's used to across the country. And I think more people are becoming used to. Next week, they'll have, Cyber Monday, I guess, coming up. But something that they have been doing, and it was emphasized last night in the Packers-Bears game, is Small Business Saturday. To me, small business should be every day. And I did tell the story about, look, my parents, even though it was manufacturing, a sheet metal fabrication shop, small business was a part of my life growing up. And what it does for employment, what it does to run the economic engine across the board is so important. And listen to all the sponsors we have, not only on this show, but on The Mark and all the other shows that we have on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Small businesses. That's what they are. You know, small business, small in name only, but by definition. And whatever you can do to support them, and especially during the holiday season, please do so, because they are awesome people to deal with. And on top of it, I don't know about you, I love really good customer service. It makes a big difference to me. Right? The businesses up and down the valley give you great customer service. So please keep that in mind. So big sports weekend coming up. Bucknell, Penn State, Eagle 107 tomorrow. Penn State football tomorrow with Michigan State here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin's going to be off on Monday and Tuesday out there stalking Bambi. I don't know if there'll be any success. We will get the complete report on Wednesday. I'll be doing Wednesday show in Boston, by the way. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. Should be very interesting. Michigan State's banged up. Penn State's banged up. I can tell you that. And we will bring it to you tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Please be safe and enjoy this long holiday weekend. You earned it. Great to have you with us on the show today. Thanks for allowing us to be a part of your day on News Radio 1070 WKOK.